All right, the rest of us, let's get into Acts chapter 4 to start with this morning as we continue to take a look at the book of Acts, see what God was doing in the time period of chapter 4 this morning and a little bit of chapter 5. Hopefully nothing that you all have not already read previous to today. But we're going to talk about, first off, we're going to see in the beginning of this, we're going to see how God answered a powerful prayer. All right. And I'll kind of explain that as we get into it. But how would it be, just think about this, y'all. How would it be, what would it be like if every community got along? Let's just start right there. If every community in the world were to just get along with each other, no one had any needs, no one was more blessed than another, and no one was less blessed than anyone else, let's just say everything was great. Don't that sound like a fantasy? Don't that sound like something, a dream that will never happen? And I know that you all agree with me because you don't even want to say it out loud because it means that we're all part of that problem. Hello? You can say amen to that because it's true. Y'all, I got a thing in my throat. I'm sorry. But the point is the people that were being arrested in the previous chapters here, they were arrested. And then remember, we talked about this last week. The religious leaders pointed their finger and said, don't be talking about Jesus anymore. Remember that? And they were like, who should we listen to, God or you? It's one of the, in my opinion, for us today as believers, it's one of the greatest statements that a believer could ever say in response to persecution. Who should we listen to, you or God? I mean, you decide. We already know what we're going to do, but you decide what you think. And then they sent them away, reprimanded them, sent them away. And then what did they do? They went home to the other believers and they all got together and said, here's what happened. Here's what they told us not to do. Here's what we're going to do. So let's talk to God and ask God for boldness. They asked God for boldness, wisdom, and strength. Remember that? Give us what we need not to survive the consequences of the Pharisees or the religious leaders. It was for to go into the world and preach the gospel. Give us the wisdom, courage, and strength to go do what Jesus told us to go do. Right? How many of us are praying those kind of prayers? Don't have to answer that one out loud. I know you're eager to shout out, but don't do that. Right? How many of us on a regular basis are asking God for what we need to go do what he sent us to do, which is make disciples, in case you didn't know that? Go into the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you wherever you go. That's the assignment. That's the mission since Pentecost. That's been the mission. It's been the mission since Genesis 1:1. That's been the mission, right? So why would we never ask God to give us what we need to go do it? Right? Or what's worse, why would we go try to do it without talking to God? Make sense? So if either of those are reality for any of us, we have to make some adjustments. So let's just look at what happens when you say a prayer like that. Let's look at what happens when you ask God to answer that prayer. Give us what we need to be faithful to your mission, to your assignment, to go have, we want boldness, wisdom, and courage. We want all of what we need to do that. And watch this. In verse, let's go to verse 32 of chapter 4. All right. Verse 32 of chapter 4 in the book of Acts. I would encourage you to go home and read the whole account of it. Today, we're just going to talk about a few portions of it. Verse 32, you've heard this before, you've read it before. You've probably heard somebody preach about it before. He says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. I'm just going to read all the way to 35. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. For there was, verse 34, for there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds to the sale of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Just a little snapshot of what's going on at that time in the body of Christ while they're on the mission, while they're busy about the Lord's business of making disciples. Not only are they talking about Jesus, but they're specifically, by the power of the Holy Spirit, emphasizing the resurrection of Jesus, which is so important because it verifies who he is and what he's done. Make sense? So all the trouble they're having is because they're talking about resurrection, not because they healed a man, not because they're talking about Jesus, but because they're saying he resurrected from the dead. Because he resurrected from the dead, that makes him Lord and Savior. It makes him the Messiah. It makes him the Christ. And that's problematic for those who want their own strength and their own power in this world. Make sense? That's what they're dealing with. So they ask God for wisdom. They ask God for courage. They ask God for everything they need to continue the mission. And look, what this is the answer to the prayer. They're living in that community that I just described when I first started talking. Everybody got along. Everybody loved each other. Nobody had a need. Nobody was better off than anybody else. Nobody was less off than anybody else. Nobody even claimed anything for themselves. Now, I know, listen to me. I know that it's uncomfortable to read these parts of Scripture because you know, and I know, we know that this is an example of what God intends for the church to be like. All of the book of Acts is an example of what God intends to do with the body of Christ in the world. Even today, we're a continuation of this ministry. And it makes it hard because we all own stuff. Hello? Somebody, all y'all own something. Y'all didn't walk here, right? Everybody has something that belongs to them. And if someone comes along and tries to take that from you, that might be a problem, don't you think? You can say, yeah, because it's fine. It's okay. It's okay. It's not a normal thought in our minds to just assume that everything that we own is available to anyone else if they have a need. That doesn't mean we're not people who want to help people in need. That's not what that means. I'm just saying let's just be hypothetical, totally hypothetical. If we could know 100% for sure that God would in some way, form, or fashion get you the message that he wanted you to surrender every possession you have to him, whatever that would look like, how would that go? How would that hit you? How would you deal with that? Right? It's challenging. It's challenging because we are not living in the culture that they were living in. We're not living in the community atmosphere that they were living in. We're living in our culture, in our community atmosphere, in all the things that go on in the world in today's time. Should that change this truth and how we apply it as believers? As how we're going to be the church for the gospel? No, it shouldn't change that. How it looks and how it plays out could be different. The application could certainly be a little different than it was for them, right? I think it's totally appropriate if the Lord would lead any of us to go and sell property and offer it up to the mission or the ministry or to somebody who had need. That would be totally acceptable if that's what the Lord led you to do, right? Everybody should say amen after that. But this scripture is not saying to the church or the believers, everybody go home and sell your property and bring it up here to the church. That is not at all. Anybody preaches that, get away, run away. That's not what it's saying. It's not about raising money for the church. God doesn't need your money, right? Here's what it is. This is what it is. They were so in tune with what the Spirit of God was doing in their own hearts and in their own minds that made them unified in that. They were experiencing the Spirit of God for the first time, and it was changing their lives. It was changing how they existed. Because His power alive in them became something they had never, ever been through before, never experienced before, and it was amazing. And it still is amazing, by the way. And they had a very keen awareness that this world is nothing in comparison to the kingdom of God and eternity. Hear me? It's fine to have stuff. It's fine to enjoy stuff. It's fine to even have nice stuff if that's what the Lord allows for you. Gives you opportunity to be successful, do it. Just know that you don't need it. And just know that if there was a need in the world that you could make a difference in because of whatever you may have, it's the believer's mindset that whatever the Lord wants to do with anything He's given me is totally acceptable. Hello? Totally acceptable. Whatever the Lord wants to do with that which He has blessed me with is 100% acceptable to me. Because if I start having tight fists on everything He's given me as if I have earned it or He needs to let me have it, then I got spiritual problems. Hello? So these people have asked God for everything they need to make the gospel a powerful thing in their lives and be the witness for the gospel. And here's the answer to the prayer. He filled them with His Spirit. He gave them unity. He says they were one of heart and soul. They can look at each other in the eye and know that the same Spirit of God is living in each one of us. Same as what we should be doing today. And I'll just tell you this, from the time I've been a part of this congregation, I've never seen a need come up that we weren't able to deal with. I've never seen that. I've never seen it where somebody says, we're not going to do anything about it. So I think there's evidence with our fellowship and our family here, that there's some truth that was there then that's here now in the same way. Because we have the same Spirit. We have the same salvation. We have the same Savior, the same gospel message who's living in us. We are one of heart and soul. Nobody claimed anything belonged to Him was His own. Just because I have something or I own something don't mean it's mine. Everything me and my wife have belongs to God. You know, people try to all the time, and right currently, I drive a Chevrolet pickup truck. I've owned every truck there is to own, brand-wise, over the years. All right, and when I was younger, I probably cared a little bit, whether it was Ford or Chevy or whatever. But, you know, as I got older and I grew in Christ and I've just started learning this truth, I'm just like, you know what, I just drive what the Lord gives me, what the Lord allows me to have, what opportunities there is. I don't care what it is, I'll drive it. All made in the same place anyway, you know. So it's just a small example of nothing is mine. Not one thing that God has blessed me with belongs to me. I have possession of it. I'm allowed to use it. I'm allowed to have it. I'm allowed to do whatever it is I see fit with it because God has given it to me. And I think the desire is that we surrender to the Spirit of God living in us so much that we're prepared to let God lead us in what to do with the things that He's given us. Make sense? All right, that's what the answer to the prayer is. Because the answer was, help us be able to preach the gospel. Help us to have boldness and confidence and strength and wisdom. All those things. And so, okay, well, guess what? He brought them together and made them one. This is one more reason why I say, people, you can't be the church by yourself. You can't be a Christian and never be part of a congregation of believers. Never have fellowship with other believers. It's not the way God designed it. We're stronger together. We're stronger in number. Right? Because of who lives in us. Because of what the power that's in us. Okay? So that's why the answer to this prayer that they needed what they needed to go preach the gospel was to bring them together and make them one and help them understand and be totally comfortable with the fact that they're not in charge and none of this is important because what's important is the one who lives in us. And when people start living that way, you don't even have to say words to preach the gospel. People start looking at those group of people, that family of believers over there, and they're just like, man, there's something about those people. There's something strong over there. There's something powerful over there that I wish I had. I wish I knew what that was. And then you'll start finding opportunities to love people, opportunities to talk about Jesus, opportunities to let the Spirit of God come alive in your life that you never even would have dreamed of. And by the way, those people will come with needs. And then ultimately, when you get really healthy in this area, when we get really healthy in this area, not only are we saying, man, God, the Lord wants me to use this up. The Lord wants me to give this to somebody. I really like that. I wanted to have that for myself. We'll get to the point where we're like, thank the Lord that I had that so that I could help this family or help that person. Thank the Lord I was able to intervene in their problem. And we praise God that we have stuff. We praise God that we have, even sometimes if it means we have to make a somewhat of a sacrifice to give what we have, to share what we have, because we know it doesn't belong to us. If we have to give our last dollar bill, which I know young people don't have dollar bills anymore, we know we're so in tune with the Spirit of God, we're so connected to the body of Christ that we know that just because we gave to someone else and we might need that dollar tomorrow, the Lord must be going to supply that dollar tomorrow from somewhere, somehow. I will not have a need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because whatever God has for me, he's got plenty of it. If I need something, I'll go back to him. I don't need another shepherd. I don't need another God. Whatever I need, the Lord will give it to me. And if for some reason it don't seem like he's giving it to me, guess what? I must not need it. Right? And just so you know, sometimes I don't have because I'm not a good steward of what he's already supplied. Just a little side note, not trying to knock you down, but just kind of helping you, right? There's been plenty of times the Lord provided for me and my family in whatever we might need. And because I did not do the right things, it wasn't there when I needed it. And it's not God's fault. It was my fault. And guess what? Here's just another side note. God even bailed me out of that mess. He helped me find a way to fix that mess, right? So he's not just going to leave me out there. All right, let me get on with this. So that was unity in heart and soul that is evidence that the Spirit of God is alive and well and we're healthy. If we want to make disciples here at Oak Grove, we want to make disciples in your life, you have to be one with God and one with the body of Christ. Now we're going to get into some information that's going to help us be aware. In chapter 5, in verse 1 and 2, Let me finish up chapter 4. Let's start with verse 36 and 37 before we get into 1 and 2. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. How many of y'all really knew his name was Joseph without reading that verse? Bible trivia. Barnabas, son of encouragement. All right, verse 37, here's what he did. Who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, because that's what everybody was doing. It wasn't because it's the thing to do. It was because there was a need. No doubt there was a need, and Barnabas was like, look, I can take care of it. I'll just sell this land. I'll give it to the church, and the church can handle the need that's there. Right? That's just he's not up there saying, look at me, how great I am. He's just saying, here's a need. He's falling in line with what we just read. Now, verse 1 of chapter 5 starts with the word but. A man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself and with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Everything's fine at this point. Nothing wrong with that. He's got property. He can sell it if he wants to. He sold the property. Him and his wife had a little family meeting, and they talked it over, said, let's sell this and give it to the church. Right? They brought a portion of it and laid it at the feet of the apostles, just like Barnabas did, except for Barnabas gave the whole amount and these two gave a portion. Still nothing wrong with that. It's their property. They can do what they want with it. Okay, look at verse 3. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? To lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land." Still nothing wrong with him keeping back some of the price with the land. The problem is that he lied. They had a comp in this family meeting that he had with his wife. He said, "Let's sell the property and we'll take some of it and put it at the feet of the apostles. And we'll keep some of it back to ourselves, but we'll say that it's the whole price. We'll say that it was all the money." Right? Because they wanted to keep some of the money, which is not wrong, but they also wanted to be like Barnabas and the rest of the people. They wanted to be somebody in the church. They wanted to be lifted up to say what great people these people are. You see what I'm saying? And we were just reading how the Spirit of God, the answer to their prayers were that the Spirit of God would come and fill their hearts so much that they were one of one heart and one soul. The Spirit of God was having his way in the people here. Nobody had ownership of anything. Nobody cared. What they cared about was the mission. They cared about each other. They cared about the body of Christ. They cared about the people who were lost. That's all they cared about. Except for Ananias and Sapphira. Now, let me get to verse 5. He says, "And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard it." Now, this has always been interesting to me, this whole situation, right? Because I think about a man named Achan. Remember him? At Jericho? Was it Jericho? Yeah. And he was told, God said to the people when they took Jericho, "Don't take anything for yourself. It's mine. Keep your hands off of, keep your grimy hands off of my stuff. You don't get any of it." And guess what Achan did? He took a few things. Nobody's going to notice. And everybody noticed because God called him out. God picked him out. And out of all the people of Israel, God picked him out one family at a time until it got to just him and his wife and children. And then the earth swallowed him up. It was bad. That was a situation right there, y'all. And here's Ananias. He's standing before the whole church. He's standing before the apostles saying, telling his lie. And right before verse 5, it says, "You didn't lie to men. You lied to God. You're trying to lie to God. You're trying to pull a fast one on God." God never asked these two people to sell their property and give it to him. There was no mandate there. Everybody else that was doing that, they were doing it because they felt like it was the right thing to do. So they made a free will decision to give to the church and the needs of the church, you see. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to continue to give. They wanted to contribute. They wanted to be part of the family, but they also wanted something for themselves. So they weren't united in one heart and one soul. They were working in their own strength, under their own will, for their own purposes, you see. So why are we talking about this? Because the kingdom of God cannot and will not tolerate hypocrisy. I know, that's a word. That's a word, y'all, that starts up conversations, right? Because here's the first thing. Here's the first thought that comes to some people's mind. Well, we're all hypocrites. That can be a true statement, can it? Right? If you think it's not a true statement and you're not a hypocrite, that makes you a hypocrite. that's an on the way home, or you'll get that one on the way home. True generosity, radical generosity that the Spirit of God leads the believers to live in and walk in is led by the Spirit, and it's full of integrity before God. Make sense? Because we can come to church. People all around the world are worshiping God this morning. Should be more, but it's some. We're worshiping God and we're coming to church and we're saying our prayers, we're singing our songs, we're sharing in communion, we're reading the Word of God, we're doing our best. We all know that not every Sunday we're doing our best. Not every Sunday we're bringing our offering with pure hearts. Not every Sunday are we being honest with God about the way things really are. And I'm saying we. Okay? Not every Sunday are we acknowledging the things that didn't go so right throughout the week prior. I try my best as a believer that when we share in communion time, all right, we have our devotion and we're taking our time to where we acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior and what that means to us all. I do my best to take that moment to clean the slate. It's a moment. It doesn't have to happen in that moment. It should happen every day, all day, right? But in that moment, for two reasons. One, because there's no way I'm going to share in communion, knowing what that's all about, and act like there's no problem between me and God. Right? But I'm also not going to come up here and stand in this pulpit handling the Word of God if I haven't done that or tried to do that. That's my effort, all right? Now, and it's because I don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira and show up like I'm the godly preacher that everybody wants a preacher to be and that I haven't fallen short at some point or another. And come in here and act like it didn't ever happen. And come in here and say, here I am, Lord, I'm a Romans chapter 12 kind of guy where I'm offering up my life as an act of worship. And I'm totally surrendered to Him when I know that I'm not sometimes. You see what I'm saying? So it's not about selling your property. It's not about selling your items, your things. Sometimes it's about the time that God has given you. Sometimes it's about your thoughts and your mind, your intellect. Sometimes it's about the desires of your heart. Right? Because what Jesus died for is for you to have an opportunity to give yourself to God, you see. God cares nothing about your house, your cars, and your stuff. What God cares about is you and your heart. What He cares about is what you're offering all of that up to. You understand what I'm saying? He cares about how much of your heart does He get to have available to Him, right? And it's fine for him to, he's going to say, you know what? I want you to be a blessing to yourself. I want you to love yourself. I want you to care about yourself today. I want you to pour into your wife. I want you to pour into your husband. I want you to pour into your family. That's what I want you to do with your life that I gave you. Make sense? And then maybe as we go about being believers and go about being led by the Spirit of God to be a blessing to the world, maybe from time to time we encounter others who are in need. And I think it's not wrong to give financially to a need. Praise the Lord for people that have done that over the last year and a half for our hurricane victims. Because it solves a lot of problems, to be honest with you, that can't be solved any other way. But I'm just going to let you know that God's not all the time wanting us to throw dollar bills at problems. Sometimes problems can be solved just by looking at somebody in the eye and listening to what the problem is and tell them, I care about that. I don't know how to fix it, but I'll sit here and pray with you. I'll sit here and listen to you. I'll even go help you find some way to fix it, even if I can't fix it. So I'm giving, not only am I giving my time to this person, my time belongs to God too. It's God's time. I'm just on it, right? I'm on God's time. So He gets to tell me what He wants me to do with it. And I give my attention, my mind, my heart to a problem, because sometimes just listening to a problem is helpful for somebody. Because nobody else will listen to them. You just sit there and listen to them. That's loving people, y'all. All right? Your attention, your heart, and you have to care. I mean, don't just sit there and yawn and fall asleep. That tells people you don't care. I'm just going to confess one time, y'all. I learned this early on when I was preaching. I got to get rolling. Early on, I was preaching. I learned this. I'm telling you, it was like I was in my first preaching ministry, the second year of my first preaching ministry, and I picked out a day that I was going to run around and see all the people that need to be seen. All right, and there was like six of the people in our church, and they either sick or they were homebound, whatever the case was. I got around to the fifth one, and I learned that I can't do that many people in one day. Not because I didn't care, not because I wasn't interested. It's just, it's hard to sit for that long and talk to people. It's draining. It's a physically draining thing. Y'all know that. It doesn't matter if you care about them, how good of friends you are with them. It doesn't matter. That fifth one, I'm going to tell y'all this. Y'all going to laugh? Maybe you'll laugh. Maybe you'll think bad of me. But I was sitting there, and this woman, this lady, she's amazing. She caught me falling asleep while she's telling me what's going on in her life. I was sitting there, and I was like, my eyes are closed, and I wake up. I'm trying not to jerk. I wake up, and I was like, uh-oh, I can't be doing that. And I was hearing her, but I felt myself falling asleep. And I know she caught me falling asleep. I felt so bad about that. So I learned we're just going to do two or three, and I have to do it 3 or 4 days a week. It's fine. I just had to do it different, right? So what I'm saying, the point is don't put yourself in a situation because you think you have to overdo it. Just listen to the Lord. He'll tell you what to do with what belongs to Him, and you belong to Him. Hello? Your time, your energy, your thoughts, your heart, your desires, your stuff, your money, everything belongs to God. You just have it because He allowed it. So as we're gonna allow God to do what He wants to do with His stuff and His beings, then let's be honest and have integrity about it. Right? Because you're not impressing. If you're trying to impress people, you're probably going to fail in your relationship with God. If all you care about is what God thinks about how you live, that's a better way to go. I mean, I care about what y'all think about me, but not enough to purposely get myself in trouble with God, you know. That's why I like the statement. They were like, hey, look, if you're going to tell us to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, then you judge for yourself. Should we obey God or you? That's the whole statement. Should I obey God or you? Should I be right with God or should I be right with you? Hello? It's a daily decision, isn't it, for us? It's a daily decision. And I know there's been times, just like it hasn't been in my life, where opportunities were present in your life to be a blessing and to intervene and to do ministry or say something or do something, and we miss it. Sometimes we miss it because we don't want to be involved in something, and sometimes we just miss it because we're busy or we just don't see it. We're not paying attention. Or sometimes we miss it because it calls for a sacrifice that we weren't prepared to make. And every time that happens in my life, I feel bad about it. Almost fairly instantly, like within this short period of time, opportunity's gone, you can't go back and redo it. But it's like, man, it's like you feel like you chose yourself over God, and you did. Right? And that's I'm trying to please myself over God thing, not please man. You know, especially those of us who live in America, in the United States of America, we're kind of spoiled, and we're used to having our stuff. We're so used to having it that we have this freedom to protect our stuff and not let somebody take it, for the most part. But we're believers, y'all. We're Christians first. We're citizens of the kingdom of God first. And then whatever else. And I've told this to you before. I'm a United States of American citizen by birth because that's where God chose for me to be born. It's just a blessing from God, right? I didn't do anything to earn that. I didn't do anything to make that happen. I'm just blessed. And I think it's amazing. But the kingdom of God has to be bigger and better and more important, and it has to be first. If I'm who I say I am in Christ. If I'm going to live the way these people were living in the book of Acts chapter 4, They were together, they were like-minded, and they just didn't regard anything as their own. They just knew that everything belongs to God. And it's at his disposal. It's for him to do with whatever he wants. And if he wants you to live off of some of it, fine. If he wants you to use some of it, fine. If he wants you to use some of it to be a blessing to somebody else, then you should do it. And we should not begrudgingly, but we get to do it. We get to be a part of that. And we certainly don't come into the church and say, yeah, I did these great things for these people, but it really wasn't all that, was it? Because that's an Ananias. By the way, you notice in verse 5 that he fell dead, right? Instantly fell dead. Like his heart just stopped beating and he fell straight on the ground and was dead before the rest of his body hit the ground. That's the consequences of offending God in that moment. Then his wife comes in. I'll tell you the story. You know it. His wife comes in and they give her a chance to tell the truth. And I don't know how to present this. It's like her and her husband had a conversation and they made an agreement to each other. So she's being faithful to her husband. Her husband said, this is what we're going to say. So, okay, I'm with you. That's a loyal wife. So it's all his fault, wasn't it? He led her into this problem. Now, should she have told the truth? 100%. 100% she should have threw him under the bus, like, nah, you made me say it. And if she'd have saw him being dragged out of the room, she probably would have said that. She'd probably like, nah, he made me say it. I don't know what I was thinking. She would have been all right if she would have said, my husband made me say it, because in that culture, that would have been a thing. You better do it, right? All right, so here we are. Here we are. Bold prayer and then obedience. This is the big idea for this morning, and I'm almost done. Big idea for this morning, bold prayer and then obedience. You can't have one without the other, and they don't work without each other. Make sense? I don't care what the bold prayer is about. If it's about making disciples, if it's about anything else in your life, you have to be prepared to respond to the way the Lord responds to you. You want the Lord to help you make disciples? Lord, I just want to make disciples. I want to be faithful. I want to be powerful for your kingdom. Whatever you want to do, do it. Well, you better get ready. You better be ready. And it better be a, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me moment. After that bold prayer. Because that's all they said. That's all they said. They said, look, they're telling us to stop talking about Jesus. But Jesus told us to go talk about Jesus. I think we'll pick Jesus. It wasn't even a meeting about that. They never sit around and said, what should we do? They took a vote. How many of us should think we should talk about Jesus? No, they already knew that the message was to go talk about Jesus. There was no question about that. Here's my thing. Why is it a question today for some churches? Why do we have to have all these books written to tell us what to do by these preachers and theologians and other people? It's nothing wrong with writing books and learning from each other, but why do we need that to go make disciples? Why do we need a book, 7 Ways to Make Your Church Grow? Maybe there's some wisdom in there, but how about let's just listen to Jesus when he said, go into the world and make disciples and I'll go with you. And I think some of it is because some of the churches today, maybe even us to some degree, we haven't felt the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit like these people did. Maybe. I don't think we're that far off here at Oak Grove. I think the Lord's been doing great things around here, right? I think the Lord's been working in all of you in different ways. We've been through a lot recently together. We've seen God do some amazing things together. We've lost some things. We've lost some people together, right? And here we still are. And we still want the gospel preached. We still want people to be able to get saved. We're baptizing people, y'all. We just baptized somebody last week. Baptized somebody the week before that. Baptized somebody a couple days before that. We're just doing it. So don't get discouraged. Let's just ask the Lord. Let's have some bold prayers. I'll finish with that right there. Let's just have some bold prayers. Right? Let's dare to pray boldly. right? And I mean that. I mean, let's just dare to pray this boldly. God, Oak Grove Christian Church wants people to be saved. And we want to be part of it. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. We need your courage. We also need your discipline. And we say that prayer in the holy name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. And we say that prayer, and we say it regularly, not just on Sunday morning when I'm standing up here saying it. Y'all say it at the house. Y'all say it on the way home. Y'all say it every day till you come back here next Sunday. And then ask God to help us be prepared to be obedient to everything that he gives us opportunity to do because of those prayers. And I believe that what I see in this Bible, what I see in this book of Acts, is the same God, the same Spirit, and the same mission. So why would he not answer the prayer the same way? Hello? That's it. That's all it is. Ananias and Sapphira is just a little thing. Hey, look at this. If you go back and read what happened, those two fell dead because they decided to lie. But after that happened, the rest of the church had a fear of God that would not let them get out of line. They were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do that. Right? If we're asking for wisdom, it starts with the fear of the Lord. I love you and the Lord loves you. And we're going to stand together and we're going to sing. And we're going to sing and we're going to depend on the Lord to give us everything we need to go about the mission together. Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you need to be saved, now's the day. Don't be waiting around. Come down here and talk to me.